holding on lamin aleph, the second line of the wide line. Still on the topic of keyword lamin aleph on base, sorry. Lamin base, second line of the wide lines. Still in the middle of talking about keyword davein. Turn it up, man. We learn in a place. A person has to honor his parents when they're alive and also after they passed away. B'chayav case, that what's an example of honoring them while they're alive. Hanishma midvar oviv lamakim. Suppose somebody is going someplace, dealing with community affairs or personal affairs or whatever, in a place where nishma midvar oviv, where people would listen to him on the basis of the on the basis of that he's his father's son. Meaning, in other words, this is a person who he himself is a prominent person. He himself, he could ask them to do his business and let him go on his own, on his own sake, for his own sake or for his father's sake. Of course. Kedushin. Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the middle of talking about Kibbutz Avein. Okay. A person is on a mission to a certain place where they will listen to him or they will listen to his father. So you should not tell them, send me away for my sake, or ma'aruni b'shvil atmi, or let me, or hurry up and finish my business for my sake, or patruni b'shvil atmi, or let me go, hello, for my sake. No, he's talking to the people over there. All of them, if these are people who respect his father and know who his father is, let him better say, let me finish my business and go for the sake of my father. Okay? Invoking his father's covered rather than his own. That's b'chayav. The Moise case said, what's an example of honoring of a person honoring his father when he passed away? If a person is saying over a teaching in the name of his father, a teaching of Torah, he should not just say, this is what my father said. Rather, he should say, this is what my father, my teacher said. I should be a kapara for his rest. You say that during the first 12 months. This is only during the first 12 months. After 12 months, you don't say harini kaparas mishkavei, because at that point, you assume he doesn't need a kapara anymore. The maximum time a person has to spend in Gehenim is 12 months. Therefore, after that, you don't say harini kaparas mishkavei. So from then on, you say zichroni levracha l'chaya olam haba. His memory should be for a bracha for the life of olam haba, because at that point, you can assume he's already in olam haba. So which scenarios are we talking about over here that you say harini kaparas mishkavei? Tosfos Riazokan says it's, when the Gemara is saying when you quote a Dvar Shmuel Mepiv, it means only in that case. He holds that in general, outside of that, you do not have to say Harini Kaparas Mishkavai. However, pretty much all the other Rishonim argue with him on that. And they say that the Gemara just means that as an example. It means that in general, whenever you're mentioning your father, you say that. And on that, the Taz actually asked an interesting question. We know our minhag is we only say Kaddish for 11 months because you don't want to make it appear like your father or like your parent is a Rasha and they have to spend the entire 12 months in Gehenim, therefore you do 11 months. Our minhag actually is 11 months minus one day. How come you say Harini Kaparas Mishkavei? All 12 months then, L'chorah by the same logic. You should stop after 11 months. So the Taz answer is because Mela Kaddish, okay, you have an option. You don't say Kaddish, fine. It's Sheval Pasa, basically. Here, what are you supposed to do? You can't yet say Zichron Levracha L'chaya and Abba. The fact is, maybe he's not in Olam Haba yet. You'd be saying a falsehood. You can't not say anything. He passed away, after all. You've got to say some sort of honor with it. You can't assume. The fact is, you don't know what's doing in Olam HaSel Yonim. So therefore, the less fair do you say it all 12 months? You're not saying that he's packing the henim all 12 months. You think if he needs a kapara, then I should be a kapara on behalf of him.
Never more than
12
months.
It's you have very, very rare examples to the contrary. You have, for example, we learned a chagiga about Acher, who was for many years, smoke was coming up from his grave. You have a story in the Kutat Chorim about Hey, Nachananus, the fact is, he still spent a considerable amount of time there, so Rabbi Yochanan came and took him out. You have a story in Lakuta Deburim about a Yid from Prague who learned Torah for many years, but was a Baal Averis until the end of his life, he did Shuvah, and he wound up being 119 years in Ghana. But those are rarities, and those are, Chabidara. Come on, those are Chabidara. Under normal circumstances, 12 months.
But only 4 letters.
Yeah. Right, 4 letters, yeah. Okay. They talk about a considerable amount, by the way. What do you mean, Harini Kaparas Mishkabai? How Bechlal, what are you saying? That my Rashi says over here, Harini Kaparas Mishkabai, means any evil that should come to him, to his neshama, should come to me instead. How do you have the ability to do that? How do you have the ability to substitute for somebody for somebody else? So they give a vast number.
Why would you want to?
Okay, but so you know what, I mean, there's a vast number of explanations, including that, yes, Taka, son can stand in the place of his father. In particular, for example, you could say part of the yisurim the father might have is, did he Taka give his son a proper chinuch? So you're saying, if there's any averis that I'm doing, which in a way are to the detriment of my father, because after all, he should have raised me better, then in that case, let me better have that for myself rather than for him. Or other mafarshim say it may just be you're saying it as a term of respect, not that you actually want yisurim to come on yourself. And then based on what Tosfos Riyazakin says, that specifically when you're quoting a Dvar Shmuel Mipiv, you could be saying, if I'm misquoting him, then I don't want the punishment to be on him that he said the wrong thing. Rather, I should be the kapara for it, that any mistakes are my own. Next. Tana Rabbanan. Chacham Mashana Shem Ovi V'Shem Rabbi. When a Chacham is teaching, he changes the name of the name of his father or the name of his Rebbe, meaning if he wants to say over halacha from his father or his Rebbe, he doesn't say his father's name or his Rebbe's name, because it wouldn't be Derech Eretz. He whispers to the Turgamon, he says, my father, Abba Mori, or Rebbe Mori, or whatever. Turgamon Eina Mashana Lo Shem Ovi V'Lo Shem Rabbi, whereas the Turgamon who announces it to the public does not change it. Whose father are we talking about? Are we talking about if the Chacham, the Rosh Hashiva, wants to say over something in the name of the Meturgamon's father, and you're saying that he should say your father and what the Meturgamon is supposed to announce? What we said. We know already that it means the Rosh Hashiva only because Rashi explained that for us, but the Gemara doesn't know that yet. So that's what we have to figure out. Whose father? Are we talking about, for example, that the Meturgamon's father was a great Talmud Chacham, so the Rosh Hashiva is quoting something in his name, so what is he going to say? Your father, and then what? The Meturgamon is supposed to say out loud the name of his father? Also Turgamon Lafach Yerbahu, isn't the Meturgamon himself higher in the covenant of his father? Elo, Amar Rav Hashem Ovav Shal Chacham V'Shem Rav Shal Chacham. Right, it means the father or the Rebbe of the Chacham. So for example, the Chacham is quoting something in his father's name, Jihad Ma'abar Avashi, as we have the example of Ma'abar Avashi.
He
have a Dorish for Pirka. When Ma'abar Avashi would give a Dorasha by the Pirka, by the public Dorasha, so he would whisper his point to the Meturgamon, Iyu Oma Abba Mori, so Ma'abar Avashi would say, Abba Mori, my father, my Rebbe, said such and such. But Amuri, Omer, and the Amura, meaning the Meturgamon, would announce Chochi Omer Ravashi. This is what Ravashi said. So that's what we mean. In other words, that in general, the Rambam puts it like this: the Meturgamon in general is not allowed to change anything that the Rosh Hashiva tells him. He has to tell over exactly, and he has to explain it to the public. But he can't add his own ideas or whatever, except for this. That, for example, Ma'abar Avashi said, my father, my Rebbe, said such and such. And the Meturgamon, it's not his father, it's not his Rebbe. So he tells the public, this is what Ravashi said. Tana Rabbanan. Ezeu Moirav Ezeu Kivud. What is the definition of Moirav? We said you have two mitzvahs. Ish imez aviv tiro, to fear, respect your parents. And you have kabbadis aviv chavetimacha. So what is the definition of each? Moirav is loy omen bimkoimo. You don't stand in his place. Volo yoshiv bimkoimo. You don't sit in his place. What does it mean standing in? So 1 second. What does it mean standing? Well, we'll talk about later about the father being merciful on his covered. Wait. But what we mean by standing and sitting in his place actually is not so simple. Rashi says, you know, we always learn as kids. It means your father has a special chair in the house. You don't sit in it. Rashi over here, though, only mentions on Omid Bim Koma, he mentions if there's a certain place where your father stands when he's talking and then when he and his friends, his colleagues, are consulting with each other, he has a certain place to stand, you don't stand there. Don't make it look like you're his equal. According to that, the Torah then learns, according to Rashi, that Omid Bim Koma and Yoshid Bim Koma basically means just that. It doesn't mean your father's special place in the house is his particular easy chair or whatever that you're not allowed to sit in. It means wherever he stands or wherever he sits, Stender and Shul, or his place to sit when he went as one of the Binz Rachman, or whatever, that sort of thing. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef talks about, according to the Torah, not. According to the Torah, it's not his specific place. Just the place where he stands like an official functions or unofficial or whatever, things like that.
Welcome.
Yeah. On the other hand, the series just says that no, it means more what we learn as kids, that you can't sit in his particular chair at the table or his particular place on the couch or whatever, again, unless he gives you a choice. The way Soyster's Dvarov, you also can't contradict his words, which is not so simple also. I mean, we have all the time in Shas and then in Rishonim and Acharonim that fathers and sons disagree with each other. So there's a lot of explanations on that, including maybe it's only when he's actually present, or maybe you can't contradict him to his face, but the father has his opinion, you have yours.
Does that include the Tomei Chacham?
No, we're talking about Tomei Chacham. No, I mean, in other words, you're not allowed to contradict him. When it comes to discussions in Torah, then there's a little more latitude, because after all, you know, I mean, the Torah is emes, so you have to be able to state your opinion. But still, and also you don't reconcile the opinions. Meaning, so Rashi says that means, let's say his father and another Talmid Chacham are arguing on something. Don't say, you know what, the other guy has a point. Because that would be disrespectful to your father. Like what? He has a point against your father? Other Mephoshim say that actually it means, the Rambam, I think, says it means even to be Machriya on your father's side, even to say Nirim Givrei Abba, my father, what my father says seems to be correct. Why? Does he need your approval? He's not correct without you? So you can say your point, but don't say like don't make it as if like it depends on me to determine that he's right, kind of.
Does it apply to the sign law?
Not directly. No.
Silence could mean also not the fact that they disagree. Then it shows the point that them is there's no disagreement. That
maybe that also could be. Okay. Next. Also, all that is motive. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Keyboard, what is honor? Machil Mashke, he gives them food and drink. Malbush Machase, he gives them clothing and dresses them. Machnas Moiti, he brings them in and out.
When does it say Machil Mashke? Gives him, the son gives him his own food?
Ibayalahu. So now the Gemara has the question, exactly what you're thinking. Michel me. Who do the expenses have to come out of? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Michel Ben. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to come out of the son's out of the son's property. Rabbi Nosson Barishia Amar Michel Av. Rabbi Nosson Barishia says it comes from the father's. Okay. Well, the halacha is like Rabbi Nosson Barishia, but actually it's not. The halacha is like Rabbi Nosson Barishia, but actually it's not so simple. Because, for example, we learned yesterday in the story of Dama ben Nisina, and also in what the Chacham told Reb Tarfon, we're going to learn it again today. That, for example, his father is throwing a purse of money into the ocean, then you're not allowed to embarrass him. So, where does that fall into this? So, there's a couple of different explanations. One of them is that, for example, you're not obligated. It's true, you're not obligated to spend your own money on kibudah. But on the other hand, if it's a matter of avoiding embarrassing him, that you even have to be prepared to give up your own money. Or, for example, it might be, let's say you can't embarrass him because that's not going to help anything, but afterwards you want to take him to a din Torah, okay, you know, you still have to get reimbursed. Or, they also, Tosfos talks about it. Okay, but if you have to, you have to. Tosfos also talks about over here, for example, that there can be a difference. Is the father getting any benefit out of throwing that purse into the ocean? Is he stopped doing it because he's nuts? Or is he actually, is there some benefit that he's trying to get out of it? And that's different.
Also, the guy is being thrown into the ocean.
Not the guy, the purse. The purse of money.
The purse of money.
Yeah. Also, Tosfos talks about, by the way, all that within all of this, there's a difference between there's a difference between we're saying you may not have to spend your own money on your father, but on the other hand, if it's a matter of that you're not going to earn some profit, that you may have to do to forego a chance to earn some profit for the sake of kibbutz. Actually, we have the story of Dama ben Nisina where he did exactly that. We said that he forewent a huge profit in order not to wake up his father. So there are Mephoshim who learn that was basically with Nimba Shurat Adin. But there are other Mephoshim who say that it is Apidin. The Rabbanon gave Rabbi Yirmiya a psak din. The Amrila Lebrei Rabbi Yirmiya, or another version is they gave a psak din to the son of Rabbi Yirmiya. Commander Amar Mishalav, according to the second opinion, that it's supposed to come out of the father's resources. Maybe the Gemara says I have a contradiction. Nema, we learned yesterday when we started the Sugya about Kibud Avraham. Nema Kabbadah Sevicha Vasimecha, Nema Kabbadah Hashem Mehoincha. One pasuk says you should honor your father and mother. Another pasuk says you should honor Hashem from your wealth. So you have to think, mal alam b'chisoron kis, afkan b'chisoron kis. Just like when it comes to honoring the Eibishter with your money, means you have to be willing to spend money on a mitzvah, l'chora kibud av v'eibishter should also be the same thing that you need to spend money on it. V'yamin m'shal av, if you're saying it comes out of the father's resources, my nafka lamine, then what do you mean? What are you giving away of your own? The answer is the bitul malacha. You can be giving away the fact that you're taking off time from work, for example. This is what leads to the idea about, for example, the foregoing a chance to earn money. Again, like in the story of Dama ben Nisina, is included in that kind of thing. So that's where, when it comes to the actual, the money that's being paid for his food and drink and whatever is supposed to come out of his. But you may have to forego your work in order to do this. That's what's included.
Forego further.
Yeah.
That's at least.
We're talking about the bare minimum, yeah. Okay. Toshma, come, I'll bring another proof. Beis Achim, if you have two brothers, or Shnei Shutvin, or two partners, or Ha'av u'Bnoi Ha'Rav Talmid, or father and son, or a Rebbe and a Talmid, Poitin Zelazem Ma'isasheni, one can redeem the other's Ma'isasheni without paying a fifth. We learned last week that ordinarily when you redeem your own Ma'isasheni, you have to add one-fifth to the one-quarter, really, actually, to the value of it. But when you're being paid to somebody else's, you don't have to. In all these cases, even though it's two brothers, let's say, they're both dealing with Miser Shani from the estate, or partners, or what have you, all these cases, they're still considered two separate people, and therefore one does not have to pay a partner.
The estate is their own.
Yeah, but I'm saying, it started out as the estate, and now they inherited it. But the point is that in all these cases, you don't say, for example, no, they don't, that's the point.
Why?
Because each one is their own person. And another din is, so they don't, they just have to pay the value of the Ma'isasheni, the actual value without the extra 25%. And that's not the key thing for our purposes. The key thing is this next line, which is, that they can feed one another Ma'isasheni. To give an example, with a father and a son, because that's why the Gemara is bringing this in over here, suppose that the son has Ma'isasheni, and his father is poor, he can give his father Ma'isasheni to eat. Now, the Amit Mishal Ben, so if you're going to say, like Rabbi Huda said, that the expenses of Kibud Av V'Em are supposed to come out of the son's resources, then how is that possible? Then it comes out, you have an obligation to support your father out of your funds, and you're taking Ma'isasheni and using that, which is supposed to go to Aniyim in general, and using it for him. So wouldn't that prove, like Rav Nosson Va'oshia, that it must be from the father's resources? And in this case, okay, since the father doesn't have resources, he's poor, then you're allowed to use Ma'isasheni. The answer is Lo Tzricha L'Hadafa. No, but the Braisa could be talking about that. You let's say we could assume you're obligated to give him the average amount of food. If he needs extra, then you're allowed to give him Ma'isasheni out of you're allowed more than what the average person would need for daily meals. Hadafa means extra. So if the standard in a certain place is it costs $5 for the average meal, and the father needs $7, so $5 you have, according to Rabbi Huda, you would have to pay out of your own resources. The other two you could take out of Ma'isasheni. Tosfos Riyaz Zaken seems to say a little bit differently, that actually what it would be is you'd have to, even the $7, you'd have to give out of your own resources. If he needs beyond that even, beyond what, if normally he needs extra, then that becomes the baseline. If at some point he needs even more than that baseline that for a while, then you can take from Ma'isasheni.
So the baseline could be?
The baseline could be high, yeah. Okay, the Gemara says, if that's the logic, if that's what you're saying, according to that, if that's how Rabbi Yehuda would explain it, Hainer de Katani Allah, then what about this, that the Braisa continues, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, before it was Rabbi Yehuda the Amor, this is Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tore Me'era, a curse should come, to a person who feeds his father Ma'isasheni. Presumably, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim are talking about the same scenario, the same situation. So if all you're talking according to Rav Yehuda, the Amora, is that you're just giving him the over amount out of Ma'isasheni, you're paying most of it out of your own, and you're just giving him the extra, my nakamina, then what's the problem with it? Why does Rav Yehuda have said, why is Rav Yehuda making such a big deal out of it? The answer is, I feel a hochi zilabe milsa. Even so, Rav Yehuda might argue that it's a bizayin to your father to treat him like a poor person and use Ma'isasheni on him.
How does your father know which money he's using?
If the pastor, if he knows, but even if not, you know. It's a desire that you have to say, how are you giving your father, that's what we're going to say, how are you treating your father like an ani and giving him my ani? He doesn't know the difference. Okay, he doesn't know the difference, but you know. If you don't have, you don't have. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you have.
What's the difference as long as the father eats?
We said yesterday a person can give his father rich food and a toad him an olam, right? It all depends how you do it. But okay.
If his father notices it, then for sure.
Then for sure. But even if not, you could argue you know. Okay. Anyway, so we still don't have a proof. We still don't really have a proof one way or the other. Okay. Tashma. Shalorus Rabbi Eliezer, come, let's bring a proof, a braisa that we had yesterday. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, Atechem Kibud Av, Veim, how far does the mitzvah of Kibud Av Veim go? Amalahem, Kadesh Yitzel Arnaki, it goes so far as that the father might take a purse full of money, Vizukenu La Yam Bafanav, and throw it into the ocean in his presence, Veinim Achlimer, and yet you don't embarrass him. Now, Riyam Peshal Av, so now the question is on Rimnosim Ba'oshia. If you say that the resources of Kibud Av Ve'Eim are supposed to come out of the father's, my Nafkalamine, then what do you care if he took a purse of his money and threw it into the ocean? What do you mean, Ve'Eim Achlimai? Why would you? Why would you embarrass him? Okay, he chose to throw away his own money. Mashenka, if you say it's your money, then that's what the Gemara answers. The answer is, Beroy Le'Yosha. We're talking about that you're in line to inherit from him. So yeah, you would have inherited it. The Chi Ha de Rav Bar Avona, as in fact we have the case of Rav Bar Avona. By the way, there's a different gears over here. Whether it's royal Yosha or not, you're still not allowed to embarrass him. Which leads the Rambam in particular to say that's the din. That even he's throwing the purse into the ocean. Even it is your own purse. We're not even talking about your royal Yosha. You're not allowed to embarrass him. Which again, I think the Lachem Mishnah, I think it is, says on it that because what good is it going to do to embarrass him? What's done is done already. It's a matter of preventing him from doing it, maybe. But if it's already done, then the Rambam puts it like, look, if a human king were to do that, the Rambam puts it like this: if a human king were to do that, were to take away your money and then say it has to be thrown into the ocean, you wouldn't have the ability to object. When the Eved says it, the Chi Hod de Rav Bar Avona, as we have the case of Rav Bar Avona, the Rav Huna kora shiroi ba'anpe Rav Brei, as we find that Rav Huna one time ripped up silk clothes in the presence of his son Rava. Omar, because he said, Ezel echtehi rotach ilai rotach. I want to see whether he's going to get angry or not.
He
doesn't say his own, but the pashas was his own. We're assuming it was his own, but eventually Rava would have eventually yarshin these clothes. So now Rav Huna is saying, let me see if he gets angry and speaks inappropriately to me. Okay, how could you do that? What if he does get angry? Because I'll listen to Avril, listen to Mitchell. You're going to be over, and you caused him to do an Avera. The answer is... Okay, there is a discussion about that. Maybe if the person doesn't get angry, you haven't been either. Maybe listening to Iver is only if the person actually ends up doing the Avera. But in any case, if he does get angry, for sure, you could, yeah. Okay. The answer is the Mochil Leili Kore. The answer is that the father, Rav Huna, was Moichel on his cupboard. Now, Tosfos says, not only he would have had to be Moichel on his cupboard, he would have had to tell Rava ahead of time that he's doing this. Because otherwise, you would have, if Rabba, the son, did get angry, what would happen? It would be a case that we learned about, that actually the Gemara is going to tell us about later in Kedushin. We talked about it briefly in Nedarim, a case where a person thinks they're doing an Avera, and it turns out they're not. Classic example is when a woman is over on a neder of her not realizing that her father or her husband was already made for it, and he's still kapara for that. So Rav Huna certainly would not have allowed that to happen. So therefore, Tosfos says, we must say that he actually informed him ahead of time that I'm mochel on my cupboard.
But what's the point?
Because the Gemara is going to say in a second, because he made sure to do it at a time when Rabba is already upset about something else.
That's cheating.
But he's not trying, the point is, it's not just so much that he's trying to test him on Kibud Av Ve'Eim, he's trying to test him, will he get angry yet, which is also an important thing,
He's angry already.
With that said, well, there's a different degree of anger. With that said, though, the Ritva has a different understanding that Lifnei Iver is not that kind of Avera that you have to make sure that the person doesn't do it doesn't do something wrong, not knowing whether thinking that it's wrong and really it's not. The Ritva says the Ritva says is he wouldn't have had to tell him ahead of time as long as he was moichel in his mind that I'm going to be moichel if he says anything inappropriate to me. I mean, the Ritva says that would have been good enough.
So if he's moichel, it's not an avera.
That's what the Ritva holds. The question is, v'hakavu mishum bal tashkis. Okay, don't you have a different problem? The Rav Huna is being over on bal tashkis. The answer is the Ovid Leibapum Baini. Yes, but he didn't rip it in the middle of the fabric where it can never be fixed. He ripped it along the seams, so it can be fixed afterwards.
Yeah.
Great. The question is, Aduma Mishum Hachi Leidratach. Fine. If that's the case, then Rav Huna, because it can be fixed easily. The question is, Aduma Mishum Hachi Leidratach. Fine. In that case, then maybe it's not a valid test. Maybe for that reason alone, Rabba wouldn't get angry because he'd realize it can easily be fixed afterwards. The answer is the Ovid Leibashas Rizchei. Yes, but he did it when he's already angry. To see where basically is he now really going to go out of his kelim. But there's a different explanation also that the Ovid Leibashas Rizchei means that Rav Huna did it at a time when the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that sometimes it's appropriate for a person to show a little anger in his household in order to get the members of his household to do the right thing. So that might have been b'shach rizchei. He's doing it at a time when it's appropriate anyway to do something drastic like that to show like things are getting out of hand over here. But even so, he also used it as a chance to see.
Pushing his button.
Okay, that's the point. Fine. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, what is it? Don't try to calm him down when he's angry. That's the opposite. That's the opposite of it. No, I don't know the Chavachayim. Okay, but this is the father trying to be mechanach his son. It's different. Okay, next. Now we're getting back to the fact that we mentioned before about that a person shouldn't contradict his father, etc. So some of the other dinim of Moira that we learned before. So now getting back to that. One time Rabbi Chezkel was teaching his son Rami, the following Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And Yisrofim ben Iskolim. If you have some people who are chayiv srefa got mixed up with some people who are chayiv skila. What onesh do you give them? You can't give them all the harsher onesh because some of them are only liable to the less harsh onesh. Rav Shimon, I mean, you don't have a skila. So Rav Shimon says you give them all skila. Shai srefa chamura, because srefa, according to him, is more serious than skila. It's a machlokas in a number of places in Sanhedrin between the two, skila and srefa, which one the chacham holds skila is harsher, Rav Shimon holds srefa is harsher.
You give him the easier one,
exactly. The way that he said it, and nisrofim and niskolim, makes it sound like it's one or two nisrofim got mixed up with a whole bunch of niskolim. So, Amalei Rav Yehuda Brei, so Rav Yehuda, this is the regular Amalei Rav Yehuda, he was the son of Rav Yechezkel, he says to his father, Abba lo tisni ahach, he says, Tati, don't teach him like that. Because that's not the right lashon. Because when you think about it, my area srefa chamura. What's the difference? Like, who cares the fact that srefa is harsher? Typically, the ruban is skolim. Never mind that. Most of them are skolim. The point is, you have to go according to the roiv. According to the lashon that you're doing, and srefa and skolim, and skolim are the roiv anyway. So even if Srefa was more serious, you would still have to downgrade them to Skila. So what are you telling me? Rav Shimon is saying you go Skila because Srefa is harsher. If in a scenario like that, you don't need that reason. You just go according to the Roiv anyway. Ela hachi isniye. Ela hechi isniye, it says on the side. So Rav Yechezkel asks, okay, what should be the lashon that I use? He says, and it's Skolim and it's dropping. He said, do it the other way around. Say that Nisqalim got mixed up with Nisrafim, which implies a small number of Nisqalim got mixed up with a lot of Nisrafim. So then, if it was a matter of Roiv, you'd have to say Srefa. But Rav Shimon is saying, never, that's true, but Srefa is more serious than Skila. Therefore, downgrade them all to Skila. Amalei, so Rabbi Chezkel tells him, Yehachi, if that's how you're going to say the Lashon should be, aim a Srefa. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. V'chamim, you don't know with Srefa. The Chamim say you punish them all with Srefa. Shas Skila Chamor, they argue Skila is more harsher, and therefore you downgrade them to Srefa. According to your understanding, my area is Skila Chamura. Who cares if Skila is more Chamur? Typically, the Ruben Nisrafim, and you're just the very fact that you have mostly Nisrafim should be a reason to say that you downgrade them all to Srefa. Because again, you go according to the Roiv. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda answers him, Hasim Rabbi. In other words, Rabbi Chizkiah will say in the way that I have the original Lashon HaNitzrafim and Niskalim, we can understand what the Chachamim are saying. Despite the fact that the Roiv on Niskalim, because there are some Nitzrafim in there, then you have to downgrade them all to Nitzrafim. But Rabbi Yehuda had argued with him based on the Reisha, on Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't really fit with Rabbi Shimon's view. Amalei, so now Rabbi Yehuda answers him, Hasan Rabbanan, who determined Rabbi Shimon. Actually, what it is that part, it's the Chachamim are answering to Rabbi Shimon, according to your own Svara. So you're arguing that the reason is that you should do Srefa because Srefa is more chamur. Why Skila chamur? As a matter of fact, Skila is more chamur. However, in a case like this, you would have to give them the less harsh one anyway, and in this case that would be Srefa. In other words, the Chachamim are saying to Reb Shimon they're not really getting into the question so much for purposes of this din. They're not getting into which one is the harsher one. The fact is, you go according to the Roiv. But at the same time, they're telling him, don't think, like you're saying, that Srefa is more serious. As a matter of fact, you should know Skila is. So that was the discussion. Now, Amale Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel says on this to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, the sharp one, you should not speak to your father like that. Don't tell him you shouldn't learn the Braitha that way. You shouldn't learn the Mishnah that way. Titania, as we learn in a Braitha, over al divrei Torah. Suppose a person's father is actually being over an Avera, and he wasn't even being over, it was just misquoting the Mishnah. You shouldn't tell him, Tata, you're being over on what it says in the Torah. You tell him, Tati, this is what it says in the Torah. Now, Rashi understands that actually Kach Kosev HaTorah is the Gemara assumes to begin with as it's a rhetorical question. Kach Kosev HaTorah, is that what it says in the Torah? So he asks, what do you mean, Kach Kosev HaTorah, Tzurik HaMetzayah? If you talk to him like that, that's for sure going to be Messiah him. You say to him, is that what it says in the Torah? That itself is going to embarrass him. Ela Omerloi, no. Rather, you should say it as a statement. Abam Nikro Kosev HaTorah Kach. There's a Pasuk that says such and such. Tell him the Pasuk and let him realize his mistake on his own. The Rambam understands it the other way around. The Rambam understands that the Hava Amina was that you say it to him, it's flat out, and the question is, that'll embarrass him. And the answer is, you tell it to him, Beloshim Tema. Is that what it says? And let him realize on his own that, no, that's not what it says. Okay, you can look at it either way.
Okay. Doesn't the Torah say this and this?
Yeah.
That's already...
Okay. Elozeben Masya Omer. Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim. Suppose that a person's father tells him, give me a drink of water. Well, mitzvah lasses, but there's a mitzvah that needs to be done at that time. For example, Rashi gives an example, to bury a mess, to go to a levaya. Maniach, ani kvod abba v'oseh a mitzvah. So I would set aside the covet of my father and instead do the mitzvah. Shani v'abba chayav in the mitzvah, because me and my father and I are both chayav in the mitzvah, and therefore that overrides kibud abrei. He says, it depends. If the mitzvah can be accomplished by other people, better let it be accomplished by the others, and you go do the covered for your father. That's half of the halacha, so it depends whether it's a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else or not.
Someone obligated to read his father's test. I'm going to ask.
Is a person obligated to leave Eretz Yisrael? We had yesterday the story of Rabbi Asi that he was asking about leaving Eretz Yisrael to honor his mother, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying he wasn't sure. Yeah, his father, same thing. I mean, for the most part, we said there's a kibud and murder of father and mother are the same. The question is only when there's a conflict between them. But yeah. It could be either way, I guess. I mean, we learned yesterday about Avimi, who would make sure to go and run to do kibud av himself rather than sending one of his sons. But I guess it probably depends what the father would want. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. We said yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know. If Rabbi Yochanan didn't know, you can't expect me to. Okay. Let's continue. We have ground to cover here. Come on. If a father is mochel on his covered, like we said before, then that's valid. He can be mochel on his covered. However, but if a rebbe is mochel on his covered, then that does not work. You still have to give him honor. However, no, even a rebbe can be mochel on his covered. Shenema, as we find, Ba'ashem ha'olecholsneim yoimam. It says that the Eivishter was going in front of the Jewish people by day as they left Mitzrayim. The Eivishter is the teacher of the Jewish people, and he was Moichel on his covered to act as their escort, so to speak. That we'll get to later.
Maybe he was machil on his kavod to learn from them, just in that situation.
But we can learn from that. Wait. Amar Rava Hachi Hashta. So Rava says, how could you think to compare the two cases? Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Alma Dilei Hu V'Torah Dilei. The Edusha, the whole world belongs to him, and the Torah belongs to him. Fine, Machal Leili Kori. He has the ability to be Merchel on his Kavod. Chacham Torah Dilei. Here, in the case of a Talmid Chacham, does the Torah belong to him? Does he have the ability to be Merchel on the Kavod of the Torah, which after all doesn't belong to him? Hada Amar Rava. Then, after Rava said this, he rethought it and he said, Ain't. Famous thing, Ein Torah Dilehi. Yes, indeed, the Torah is his own. So as the Pasuk says, that and in his Torah, he delves in and thinks and is involved day and night. So we see once a person has learned Torah, came the Torah Hashem Chesed. The Pasuk starts off by calling it the Torah Hashem, that's the Torah of Hashem. Then it continues with the Torah Soi, implying that it becomes his Torah because he becomes identified with it. But yes, in that sense, it becomes his, and therefore he has the ability to be merchel on that. And the says, Eini, is that so, that a Rebbe has the ability to be merchel on his covered? But Rava Mashki Beit Hillel Debre, we have the example where Rava was giving out drinks by the chasana of his son. The Dalai Kossel of a popul of Rabbonu Breja Yeshua, he poured, he lifted up, Dal literally means he lifted up, a cup for a papa and for Ravona Breja of Yeshua, who were his Tamidim, and they stood up in his presence as he was pouring for them. Then Little Mario or Pinchas Breja of Chista, then he went and poured for Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chista, and they didn't stand up in front of him. And Ikbad, and he minded it, he was mastered on it. But Omar, he said, Hanu Rabbanon, Rabbanon, Hanu Rabbanon, Lab Rabbanon. What are you implying that the other Rabbanon, Rapapa and Rabbanon Rebbe Yeshua who stood up, you're implying as if they're not Chachamim, that they had to stand up, and you guys, you're implying as if you're Chachamim who don't have to stand up for me. That's true. Rav Pinchas, Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chista, would have been Rav's brothers-in-law, yeah, because he married the daughter of Rav Chista. True, but irrelevant. They would have been, they were still a Talmidim, yeah. Okay. The two, and we have another example, Rav Papa Abamashki Behi Lula de Abamar B'day, Rav Papa was giving out drinks at the chasana of his son Abamar, or Abamori, actually. This is one of when we say the sons of Rav Papa at the end of Masechta, one of them, Abamori by Papa, so this is the one. The Dalai Kossel of Rabbi Yitzchak Breja of Yehuda, he poured a cup for Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, who was one of his Talmidim, and Rabbi Yitzchak did not stand up from him, and he objected to it. So we see that on the face of it. You can see to a certain extent he was merchel on his kavod because he was giving out drinks, but okay, you could argue it's a sort of mitzvah, that's different, but there's a difference between whether he himself acts in a way that's a lack of kavod versus others do. Yeah, like this, for example, him pouring drinks, okay, he wants to be merchel, but we see on the face of it that when they didn't stand up, that they objected to it, that shows that they can't be merchel on that aspect of their kavod. The answer is that Filahochi hid your book other than the bow. True, they didn't have to stand up, but they should have at least moved a little bit, like as if they should have at least made it like to get up a little bit like that. That's when Rabban Valenkin, the Rebbe's Malamis came to Yechidus, right. Yeah. Right, there are other Mepharshim who say also that Hidur Bo Me'avid Lebo can also mean they should have at least started by declining. They should have at least, when Rebbe is about to pour them the drink, it's not necessary. You are Rebbe, and if he insists, it's my son's chasana, then fine. Okay. So you can, anyway. The point is that yes, a Rebbe can be merchel on his covered, but still you have to show him ephes a little covered. Yeah. Even if we say the opinion that a Rebbe can be merchel on his kavod, but if a Nasi, a leader of the Jewish people, is not quite a king, is the next thing we're going to talk about, is merchel on his kavod, then he can't be merchel on his kavod. I said, maybe I have a contradiction to that. Brisa says, "Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbi Tzadik, shrei mesubin b'veis mishta b'noi shor Rabbi Gamliel." These three chachamim were reclining and then participating in the suda at the wedding of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. V'ha'yir Rabbi Gamliel omer d'mashgalim. Rabbi Gamliel, who was the nasi, was standing and serving drinks. Nothing akos l'Rabbi Eliezer, so he gave a cup to Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo'y not lo'y, and he didn't want to take it. He, yeah. And no. I, you know what? It's actually interesting. Ben Yehoyada asks, first of all, don't we know, you know, among other things, don't we know Kol Mashi Yomer Elecha Balabai to say, first of all, that whatever the Balabai tells you is supposed to be. And the Pashas, it was, yeah. And second of all, well, besides that, it's the wedding hall, where it's the wedding hall that he rented, if nothing else. That Chutz Mitzvah, okay. And also, Misayven Lekotten Ben Misayven Legadol. The Gemara tells us that you're only supposed to turn down a request from a lesser person, not from a greater person. Just as we find, for example, the Malachim did whatever Abraham told them, but when Lot asked them to come to his house, they turned him down. And Ben Yehoyada answers because it's different over here. Rabbi Eliezer is doing it because of Rabbi Gamliel's cover. So it's not a lack of cover to tell him to decline the cup on the grounds of either of these things, because he's doing it.
Because
he feels that Rabbi Gamliel is a Nasi, and it's not right that the Nasi should be serving drinks to everybody.
But if the Nasi has chosen to...
But that's for the discussion. That's going to be the discussion now. Right now, we're in the middle of figuring out. We just said, Rabbi Ashi had said that a Nasi cannot be Mocha on his covered. Now we're bringing a Braisa that seems to contradict that. So let's work it through. Nasi to Rabbi Yeshua, then Rabbi Gamliel offered the cup to Rabbi Yeshua, the Kibbutz, and he accepted it. What's going on over here, Yeshua? Under Yoshvin, we should be sitting here, Ram Gamliel Berebi Omidamashkialenu, and Ram Gamliel Berebi doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Ram Gamliel's father was Reb Shimon. Berebi means a great person. And Rashi says in general, in Shas, when it says Berebi, when something's called Berebi, usually that's what it means, the great person. So Ram Gamliel, the great person, Omidamashkialenu, is standing and serving us drinks. How you talking? So Rabbi Yeshua tells him, what's the problem? We find somebody greater than him who served food and drinks to the guests. Namely, Avraham Gadol Mimena V'Shemesh. Avraham is greater than Ram Gamliel, and he served the guests. Avraham Gadol Ador Hoya. Avraham was the leader of the generation. And it says he's standing over the guests and then serving them. Fine, you're going to argue, okay, look, he saw their malachim. Can't. And we know the famous thing, they look like Arabs. As far as he knew, he didn't recognize them as Malachim until... What? The Gemara is taking it as a given of it. Rashi mentions that in the Pasuk. That's why he told them to wash their feet, because he figured they're Arabs who bow down to the dust of their feet. On the face of it, he didn't realize they're Malachim until one of them spoke up, Ayeh Sore Yishtecha, and starts giving the bracha. Then he realized, yeah.
They were not offended by that?
Apparently not. I mean, they realize what they're not fans, it's just their feet. They would have understood. They're malachim. They don't have. They're malachim. Yeah, they don't have. Okay. Anyway, so Rabbi Yeshua continues his argument. So us, lo yehei Rabbi Gamliel, we're not Arabs, and Rabbi Gamliel is not Avraham Avinu. Lo yehei Rabbi Gamliel b'Rebbe Omer Mashkel Leinu. So what's the problem? Shouldn't Rabbi Gamliel b'Rebbe be standing and serving us drinks? Yeah, okay. Omelet and Reb Tzadik, and then Reb Tzadik speaks up and he says, look, I'm lost after my nation, Kvodu Shalmachim, Batam Osim, the covet of Briyas. Never mind that. What are you doing ignoring the covet of the Eishter and focusing on the covet of human beings? You're focusing on the question of Ramil being the Nasi, can he be Mochel on his covet or not? Look at the Eishter's covet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiv Ruchos, the Eishter makes the wind blow, or Mahalan Asim, he makes the clouds come up. I mean, Asim means clouds. It could be also Reb Tzadik used the word Asim over here as kind of a play on words because we're talking about a Nasi, yeah. Umurid Matzer, he makes the rainfall. Umatzmiya Chadoma, he makes the ground grow. Va'orich Shochan Lefnei Kol HaChavecha, he sets out a table in front of every person. Ben Yehoyada says this means two things. It means there's the rain, which we know the key of rain is one of the things that the Eibishter keeps in his own hand. And Parnasa, Orich Shochan Lefnei Kol HaChavecha, means the Eibishter arranges Parnasa for every person, which is also directly in the Eibishter's hand. In other words, the Eibishter is no less than a Nasi. Yeah. So as far as us, isn't it right that Rabbi Gamliel should be standing and serving us drinks? So the point is, we see from this story that, yeah, okay, Rabbi Eliezer may have held that Rabbi Gamliel shouldn't, but Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tzadik pointed out that it's okay for him to be.
Because he was serving Hashem?
No, not because he's serving Hashem, because Ram Gamliel is no greater than Avraham Avinu, and he's certainly not greater than the Eibishter, and we see Avraham Avinu and the Eibishter could be Mochel on their respective covered.
Right.
Therefore, so can Ram Gamliel. So therefore, we see a Nasi can be Mochel on his covered, even if he's a Nasi. Yeah. If the statement was said by Rav Ashi, it went like this. Amar Rav Ashi, even according to the opinion that a Nasi, who's Mochel on his covered, is valid, as we just said, according to Rav Yeshua and Rav Tzadik, Nevertheless, Melech Shemachal HaKavod Ein Kavod Imahal, but a king who is Mochal on his Kavod is not forgiven. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, you should definitely place, Soim Tosim is an infinitive, you should definitely place a king over yourself, meaning Shetei Masei Alecha, his awe has to be on you. So therefore he can't be Mochal that, because then you won't have awe for him. There's a couple of different approaches where we see from the Pasuk this concept. Well, that's one, is because we see since the Pasuk is Machbid on Shetei Mochel Alecha, means you have to have awe for him, so therefore if he's Mochel on his cover, then you're missing that. Whereas by all the other ones, there's no such thing. There's also an explanation, I think, for the Shittim HaKubetis. Since the Pasuk says, Soim Tosim, implies the kingship constantly has to be placed on you. If he's Mochel on his covered, it means he made himself Oyz king. You have an obligation to remake him a king. Therefore, he can't be Mochel on his covered, because any time he's Mochel on it, you immediately have to override that and then give him covered again.
But David HaMelech, who is dancing,
that's in front of Eibishter. That's different. That's covered for the Eibishter. That's different. But we're talking about he's not allowed. Other people always have to give him covered. He's not allowed to be Mochel on his covered. Now, so what about the Eibishter himself as the king of the world? How is he Mochel on his covered, like we said before, leading the Jewish people? So there's a couple of different answers. One of them, Marsha says, the difference is that we said before the Torah belongs to the Eibishter, therefore he could be Mochel on it. Very well, the kingship also belongs to the Eibishter. A human king's kingship doesn't belong to him, it comes to him straight min Hashemayim. As opposed to a chacham or a nasi or whatever, he was appointed because of his milas, so therefore to a certain extent it belongs to him. Kingship doesn't belong to him. It's inherited. Therefore he has no ability to therefore he has no ability to be mochel because it belongs only to the Eibishter, and it's not. Marsha says that.
Brings us to the question, how does the minister so much by the
devil?
I have a support for everybody.
Okay. So we say over here, nasi shemochel
HaKavod. But how did we allow it?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. That's what we said. We just said that's what Marshall is saying. Because the Eibishter himself owns the Malchus, therefore he has the ability to be Mochel on it. Where the king doesn't own his own. A king doesn't own his own Malchus. A king's Malchus comes to him straight from Eibishter. Another explanation also that the Malchus is that the Malchus comes to him from the people. Therefore, he can't be Mochel on it because you can't get all the people to be Mochel on it. It's not like you can get all the people to agree.
But when Hashem came on the throne, he heard of us, mate.
Fine, but again, it's the Eibishter's kingship. He has the ability to. He has the kingship to begin with. He has the ability to be Mochel on it. Turn it up on him. Since we're now that we've got to talking about Kavod of Talmid Chachamim, so now we're going to talk further about it. Turn it up on him. We learn in a braisa. The pasuk says, "Mipnei seva tachlum." You should stand up in the presence of old age. So, yochol afilu mipnei zaken ashmoi. You would think that means even if it's an old person ashmoi. Rashi says ashmoi means rasha and amaretz. Tosfos argues on that. He said rasha and amaretz. Of course, there's no hava amina that you should stand up for him. So Tosfos instead explains ashmoi just means a rasha, just means an amaretz. Anyway, you would think that what it means. Talmud Lama Zake. No, the Pasuk actually said, the Pasuk besides the word Seva, which just means white hair, Seva talking about Ta'at Pnei Zake, and it continues. Ve'en Zake, Nala Chacham. The word Zake specifically means the Talmud Chacham. Shenema, Eshali Shivim Mishmiz Yiknei Yisrael. The Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, gather to me 70 of the elders of the Jewish people. And he obviously didn't mean 70 of the old men. He meant the Talmud Chachamim. Rashi says also we can learn it from a different Pasuk, actually a continuation. In that Pasuk, Asher Yodata Kein Zikna Am B'Shoitrav. The Eibishter tells Moshe, you know that these are the elders and the officers of the Jewish people. So we're talking about prominent Talmud Chachamim, not some that are old. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says we can learn in a different way. Ein Zaken Ela Bishavchan HaChachma. The word Zaken means somebody who has acquired wisdom. The word Zaken stands for Zesh Kan HaChachma. Shenema, Hashem Kanani Reishis Da'ake. As we find, the Pasuk says the Torah speaks about itself. The Torah personified says, Hashem acquired me at the beginning of his ways. So we see the Torah specifically can be described as an acquisition. Now we learn in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav, that there's five kinyonim that the Eibishter has in the world, but the Torah is the first one over there. Okay, continues the Braisa. Yochol Yamin in front of Makam Racha. So all this, we're going to be quoting the Braisa today, and then we'll start analyzing the Gemara. We'll analyze it in detail, maybe we'll get to a little bit of it today and the rest of it tomorrow. So Yochol Yamin in front of Makam Racha. You would think that you have to stand up in front of a Zokain from a distance. No, the pasuk says you can't say the tokum, vahadarta pnei zokin. By putting together tokum, you should stand up, vahadarta, and you should honor. We learn loyamarti kima elav makum shesh hidur. So the standing up only applies in a place where there is honoring by it. If he's far away, then it's not obvious that you're standing up for his cover. Shesh hidur means that there are people that you can tell that you're standing up in honor for him rather than just standing. So that's pretty close by. So we'll learn tomorrow the details of how far it is for various classes of people. Yeah. Okay. Next, Yochol Yahadrenu B'mamon. You would think maybe the word B'hadarta means you have to honor him. Maybe it means you have to honor him with money. Maybe it means you have to give him money. Tamabana Tokum B'hadarta. No, again, you have the same hekesh of Tokum and B'hadarta, standing up and giving covered. Therefore, we learn Makima Shein B'chisaran Kis. Just like standing up does not involve any loss of money, the same way hidur must mean something that doesn't involve a loss of money. What about a craftsman standing up from his work? We'll talk about that tomorrow on the Gemara. Next, Yochol Yamin in front of a Beis Kisim and Beis Amechus. You would think that maybe it means you have to stand up for a Zokin, for a Talmud Chacham, in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. Again, Talmud Lama Tarkam Vahadarta, Loya Marti Kima Elav Amachim Shiyash Hidur. The Kima only applies in a place where there is honoring. You don't honor a person in those places and in low-down places like that, therefore there's no Indian to stand up for them here. Continues the Braisa, Yochol Yatsim Einav Kamisha L'Ro'ohu. You would think maybe a person is allowed to close his eyes and pretend like he didn't see the Talmud Chacham, so he doesn't have to stand up for him. Talmud Lama, therefore, the pasuk says, Tokum v'yoreisa, the pasuk says, Tokum v'odat v'nei zokum v'yoreisa me'alekecha, you should fear the Eivishter, meaning, Dover amosu l'leiv, Rashi mentions this over and over in Parshas Kedoshim, that any time, Dover amosu l'leiv, anything that's given over to the heart, where it's a person is the only one who can know really what his motivation is, whether he sincerely tapped and didn't see the person in this case, or whether he's pretending not to, nemogoy v'yoreisa me'alekecha, always on such a mitzvah, it says you should fear the Eivishter, meaning, other people may not know, but the Eivishter will know. Reb Shimon Elazar. What?
In the thoughts,
yeah. Reb Shimon Elazar, I mean, Menayim Lazakin Shalay Yatriach. How do we know in turn about the Zakin also has a responsibility in this regard? He shouldn't be matriach people to stand up for him. If he has an alternate way to go that people won't have to stand up for him, how do we know Reb Shimon Elazar says that he should go that alternate route and not be matriach them? Tamadam is Zakin the Yareza. Therefore, the word before the Yareza is Zakin, the elder. Meaning, you, the Zakin yourself, the Yareza, you should fear, you should also fear the Edishter and not be matriach the Sivir. Actually, the Shach says on this something interesting. He says this is Dafke in those times when everybody usually sat on the ground and therefore to get up for a Zakin was a big hassle. Nowadays when people sit on chairs or benches or whatever, it's not such a big deal. So therefore he says, fine. The Gemara still means don't be matriach, as in don't, you know, constantly be going in and out like in order to make people stand up as much as possible for you. But on the other hand, you know, the Shach says you don't necessarily have to go the alternate, you don't necessarily have to take the private elevator to keep. No, they usually sat. No, most of the time they sat, especially the Talmidim, usually sat on the ground. Yeah. And the Braisa finishes off. Isi ben Yehuda mipnei seva tokum afilu kol seva b'mashma. We started the Braisa by saying that seva specifically means Talmud Chacham for zokin. Isi ben Yehuda argues. He says no, mipnei seva tokum afilu kol seva b'mashma. It means any kind of elder. It means any kind of elderly person, whether he's a Talmud Chacham or even if he's a zokin hashma. That the Gemara we'll talk about tomorrow.
What?
Well, seva. No, seva usually means old age. Actually, there was a bit of discussion among the Acharonim. What is the age that you're supposed to stand up for a person based on all of this? Is it Taka 70? Because the Mishnah says Ben Shivim L'Seva. Or maybe it's brought from his Kisvei Arizal. It's brought that actually once a person is 60. Mestamed has to, I didn't look in detail, but Mestamed has something to do with the fact that Gemara says that if after 60 years old, the person is not Chayav Kardas anymore. Zichno also, yeah.
Who is Chayav, at what age you're Chayav to set up?
If you yourself are old, then you have a hard time. Maybe not. We're talking about
an elderly person is supposed to stand up for another elderly person?
So tomorrow we'll get into more of the details. I mean, but you know, if you're not able to, you're not able to, right?
No,
but,
I think the elderly is also in front of the elderly, or the younger ones in front of the elderly.
Maybe, or at the very least, you should do like we said before, hit her of it, like at least you know, like make a movement, like to get up.
Where's it from there? Skulana Rebbe used to sometimes come to a Kabrera.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go through the back. You know,
right.
Rebbe's reserve, yeah. He used to come through the same door. The Rebbe noticed in the back, he used to get up a little.
An interesting thing brought, we have to get thrown into Maida, but there's an interesting thing brought about Maharam Rutenberg, that once he became a Gadol B'Yisrael, once he became a prominent Rosh Hashiva, his father never visited, he never visited his father again. Because he didn't want his father should have to get up for him. They found out a cheresdik, so therefore he never went to visit him after that.
What's this?
The Maharam Rutenberg.